Turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. Told the kids this morning in chapel, I said, this morning I preached on being thankful and a little bit about God and how we ought to be thankful that God is good, God is gracious, and God is grand. And I got into that a little bit and how blessed we are to be in America. And I told him, I said, you need to try to encourage your parents to come back tonight because I'm going to preach on the dangers of not being thankful. And I said, you know, that's a little bit over the heads of most kids nowadays is what happens of a repercussion of things. But for us adults, I believe it's very important that from the Bible we understand that there are dangers of not following God's law. And I just realized I didn't turn this on. Better? Can you hear me better now? All right. So now I have to repeat everything I just said. But there are repercussions for not obeying God's law. And I believe that every part of the Bible is applicable to us. And a lot of preachers say that there's certain parts that aren't applicable to Christians, and there's certain parts that aren't applicable to today's society, and there's certain chapters or certain books that aren't applicable. And I said, that's not the truth. I said, if it wasn't applicable to us today, God wouldn't have gave it to us to have. I said, I believe you can draw an application out of every part of the Bible, out of every chapter, every verse, every word, every jot, and every tittle. And that's what I was taught from Brother Westmoreland, is every part is important. And he taught us that repetition is the key to learning. And if you didn't learn nothing out of that chapter, read it again. You get some the next time. And for a lot of assignments, he had us read some books or some chapters 5 or 6 times until we got something out of it. And then he'd have us write a sermon. And if he didn't think our sermon had enough material in it, he'd make us do it again. And I believe that that taught me a lot in my life is that I need to be able to continue to learn something from the same passage of Scripture because the Bible is alive and it's a living book. And every time you read it, you ought to get something new out of it. And I told my wife, I said, a lot of times I have trouble reading the Bible is because I get so intimidated by certain sins I have in my life. I'm afraid to read the Bible because I know it's going to call me out on it. And I get scared because it's alive. It's convicting. It pierces. And this right here that I've been working on this sermon for tonight has been convicting and piercing to me, and I hope that it does the same to you tonight. And we'll read the verses, and then I'll pray, and we'll get into the sermon. And I pray that you just give me attention. If you listen fast, I'll talk fast. We'll get out of here fast, and you can get home. All right? But you can't drive fast because it's wet and slick out there. All right. Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 20. We'll read through the end of the chapter. It says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful." Listen to that part right there. Neither were thankful. "But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you tonight. We thank you for this opportunity to be here in your church and with your people. We thank you for each one of these people that made an effort to come out,
despite the conditions. We pray for those that were unable to make it. Pray that they can tune in or that they can get it later. And we pray, God, for each one that's here tonight, that they can get something out of your word. Pray that you convict and that you use your word, God, to stir our hearts to do something more for you. We pray that you just work in every way tonight. And if there's anyone here tonight that's not saved, that today will be the day of their salvation. In your name we pray. Amen. This passage of scripture here, I hear a lot of people all the time, they use it as their only springboard of the Bible preaching against homosexuality. And that's what you hear people say, oh, just reference Romans chapter 1. Well, there's a lot more in this chapter than just homosexuality. If you notice, the part that I read, it mentioned that in just a couple verses. But the other part of it, if you notice, in verse number 21, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. So these people knew God. They knew who God was. But they didn't glorify him as God, and they weren't thankful. Tonight, this evening, I want to speak to you about the dangers of not being thankful. I believe in America, we've got to a point to where we know who God is. You ask anybody on the street, they know about God, mostly. Most people in this area, they've been to church, they know God. But they don't glorify him as God. They don't worship him as God. And I believe that in our society, now that we are at this point where we know God and we don't glorify him as God, we're at this point in this verse where it says, neither were thankful. We're coming up next week is Thanksgiving. Nobody is going to be celebrating it for thankfulness, most likely. Very few percentage of the millions and millions of people are actually going to be spending time to be thankful for what they have. They're all going to be getting ready for the next day. What is that? Black Friday, right? Where they go out and beat each other to death for a new Xbox. You're not very thankful if you go and do that. Now, I mean, I like Black Friday. Not to go wait in line for a million hours for an electronic, but I told the kids this morning, I said, I'm kind of older now. I like to get clothes when they're on sale on Black Friday. And you know that that's a good deal for me, and I like to get clothes because I'm an adult, and I think, hey, if I can get my work clothes for cheaper on Black Friday, I'm going to get them. But I don't go out and stand in line in the cold and put a tent up for 12 hours to go get something unnecessary. I don't see the point of it. But we have Thanksgiving. We're supposed to be thankful. And the next day they go out and they celebrate Black Friday. It blows my mind. And all in the spirit of saving money. And people get killed every year. I never could wrap my mind around that. If you just wait till Monday, they have this thing called Cyber Monday. You can order it and it's delivered to your house. Free shipping. Amazon. Check it out. It's awesome. That's not anything to do with the sermon, but they're just not thankful. They're just not. Most kids today, to get them to say thank you for a piece of candy working on the bus route, it's like pulling teeth. I worked with Brother Cameron over at Bethel on the bus route, and we gave big promotions all the time. Maybe 5 or 6 kids out of 100 would say thank you. Kids just aren't taught to be thankful anymore. And we're like, well, why aren't they taught? Because our generation didn't teach them. We're not teaching them. They learn by your actions, not by your words. My wife is real good at teaching our son. She already teaches him to say please and thank you, and he's only 14 months old. She teaches him sign language. He rubs his belly when he wants something, that's please. And then he says thank you like that. That's how you say please and thank you in sign language. And she's teaching him. Because it's important that a kid have manners. It drives me crazy when I go to the store and the kids are just screaming at their parents, gimme, 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 and throwing a temper tantrum on the floor and tearing stuff off the shelves and throwing a huge fit in the store because they want something. Why? Because they're not taught to be thankful for what they have. They're not taught no. I promise you, if you tell your kids no, it's not going to kill them. That's the first word my son understood in his life was no. We tell him no a lot. Not because we don't love them, I love them to death, but there's certain things that are no. And there's other things in our house that are no, no. And you know the difference if you're a parent. He goes to touch something expensive, you're like, no, no. But he's learning, he's just 14 months old and he knows what's a no, no. And he'll turn and he'll look at you in a spirit of rebellion and touch it anyways. Because kids don't need to be taught to do wrong. They need to be taught to do right. We see in this next few verses after that, it says, but became vain in their imaginations. That's the first thing I want to focus on tonight, is you become vain in your imagination once you decide that you're not going to be thankful anymore. Once you stop being thankful, you become vain in your imagination. And I had to study this part out and this point because I had one thought of what I thought this meant, but I did a lot of studying on it, and it says that it more or less means to become useless in your thoughts. Useless. Thoughts that are useless. Xbox, spending 14 hours a day, that's useless thoughts. Letting your kids play video games for 15 hours a day is vain imaginations. And it teaches them to not be thankful. We're allowed to play video games or watch a movie for an hour or two a day. But after we did our homework and after we did our chores. Kids nowadays, when I was teaching in the high school, they come into school and they look like they're half dead as zombies. And I say, what's the problem? They're like, oh, I was up till 2 a.m. playing Xbox. They're not thankful. They wanted to get to the next level on their Xbox. For what? For a vain imagination. It says that you become void of understanding. Being void of understanding means that you are completely empty in your mind. Does any of this sound like familiar if you have teenagers? Your teenagers that are hooked on those electronics, they become completely empty in their mind. There's nothing going on. It kills their brain cells. Because you're allowing them to participate in vain imaginations. And the Bible talks about devices. It talks about devices controlling people in the last days. And we see it. People are attached to their cell phones, to their TVs, to their Xbox, to their computer screens. They're attached to a device all the time. And it's getting more so and more so as the days go on. Even since I was a teenager, the graphics nowadays are better than real life on some of those. And it's appealing. And the things that they put on there that the kids are allowed to see allows vain imaginations to go on in their mind, which kills their brains. Why? Because we're not glorifying God as God. We know who God is. We come to church, but we don't glorify Him as God. And then when we go home, we're not thankful for anything. We teach our kids to want the next best thing. We allow them to play these video games. And then we wonder why they have problems. We wonder why the suicide rate among teenagers is the highest among anybody else in the world, in the United States. Highest suicide rate in the richest country in the world. Why? Because they have vain imaginations. They're taught that they're worthless and they're nothing. Proverbs 12:11 says, "He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding." We're teaching kids to follow after vain things. The Bible says they'll be void of understanding. They'll be empty in their mind. Also, when you're vain in your imaginations, you're contrary to God's ways. You do things that are contrary to God's Bible, to God's direction, to God's instruction, to God's church. You start to do things that are contrary to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." This is a verse that speaks to me, is the Bible says, casting down imaginations. Anytime you have a thought that you shouldn't have, the Bible says we ought to cast it down, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that is against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. How many of us adults struggle with that? Bringing every thought into captivity. Not acting upon the thoughts. Think back When's the last time I thanked God for things in my life? Oh, I haven't done that lately. Now you're vain in your imaginations because you haven't been being thankful. You're already taking that next progression of that step. And your thoughts are getting away from you. Because you don't have a readiness to revenge all disobedience to God. You say, well, it's just a thought. God says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. God knows your thoughts. Where's your mind at during the day? What are you thinking about? What are you meditating on? My wife asks me all the time when I'm sitting there sometimes and I look like I'm not doing anything. She'll be like, hey, what are you thinking about? I'm like, oh, nothing. Most of the time it's because I don't want to tell her what I'm thinking about. Because I don't have my mind into captivity. Most of you men know what I'm talking about. We let our minds water, and before you know it, we're thinking about something we shouldn't be thinking about. It might just be innocent, but we're lusting after something we don't need. We don't need to buy. Maybe it's a gun. Maybe it's something that we want to go do. Maybe it's a new car. And we're sitting there, we're meditating on that for 30 or 40 minutes. The Bible says that we ought not to lust after things that we're not going to get. Sorry, maybe I'm just preaching to myself. But a lot of times I do that, and I'm just sitting there thinking about something that really has no relevance. Or I'm worrying about something that's never going to come to pass. And the Bible says that's a sin. We've got to bring those into captivity. Then we see that when we're vain in our imaginations, we begin counseling against the Lord. Romans chapter number 2, if you're right there by that. Romans chapter number 2 and verse number 1 and 2, it says, Therefore thou art excusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. We start to think, oh, well, I'm better than such and such person. We start to justify it. And we start to draw counsel from other people that are doing the same thing as us. And we start to say, well, what we're doing isn't so bad. And we begin to justify it and we begin to counsel against the Lord. When we ought to be going to God about it, we ought to be praying about it, we ought to be going to the pastor about it, but instead we'll go to our friend that we know is having the same issue as we are, and we'll be like, so what we're dealing with, it's not really that big of a deal, is it? Oh, no, it's fine. And you begin to justify it. Because you become vain in your imaginations. Look at the next thing here, number 2. It says, their foolish heart was darkened. Now, it doesn't say that their foolish heart was made dark. You notice that, right? It says their foolish heart was darkened. So what does that tell you? Well, to me, it tells me if their foolish heart was darkened, it was already a little bit dark in the first place. It was just made darker. Because you can't darken something that doesn't have a little bit of darkness in it already. I looked up that word, and it said to darken something, there already has to be a little bit of darkness. So after they got into their vain imagination, you already started slipping away from God a little bit. You already let a little bit of darkness into your life. Now your heart's going to be more darkened. Now your heart's going to become what God says is a darkened heart, a black heart, a heart that's turned away from God. Psalm 14, verse number 1. Turn over there real quick. Got a bunch of verses here. Told the pastor, I said, I got a lot of verses. I don't know if I'm going to get to them all. I might just have to read them to y'all. Psalm 14, verse number 1, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works, and there is none that doeth good. We all know the first part of that. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, right? We all quote that if we've been in church for much period of time. But look what it says. It says, they are corrupt. They have done abominable works, and there is none that doeth good. I mean, some of us, we say, oh, well, I would never say that there's no God, but by your actions, you say that there's no God to your coworkers. By the way that you live your life, you tell them that there's no God. You might not verbally say, oh, there is no God, but your actions say it. Because your heart has become darkened. If you're already at step two here, you're a long way down the path because you're already portraying to your coworkers there is no God. At this point, when your heart is darkened, you already get to the point where in your personal life, you begin blaspheming God. Psalm 74 and verse number 18. There's way more verses than I'll ever get to tonight. But I promise you, do a study on fool, foolish, fools, hundreds and hundreds of verses. It'll convict you. Psalm 74 and verse number 18, it says, "Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name." When your heart becomes dark and you start turning away from God, you start acting foolish. You start doing foolish things and you'll start blaspheming God. You say, "Well, I would never blaspheme God." Oh, yeah? When's the last time you were at work and you hit your hammer on the wrong nail and you said a cuss word that had God's name in it? That's blaspheming God. You better check yourself because you're probably already here where your heart is darkened and turned away from God because you're not thankful. So it got you to vain imaginations. Then it brought you to a darkened heart where you're blaspheming God. And you're saying, "Can it happen that quick?" Yeah, it can happen that quick in a day. Less than a day. That's why we ought to get up every day and thank God for what we have. I heard a preacher when I was in college, and he said, "If you only had tomorrow what you thanked God for today, what would you have tomorrow?" Many of us, it would be nothing. Proverbs 10:1, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." And there's several other verses that talk about a foolish son bringing shame to his mother and stuff like that throughout the book of Proverbs. And, you know, when your heart gets turned away from God, you'll start to bring shame to your family. You'll bring shame to your mother's name. You ever heard somebody say, "What, your mother never teach you anything?" Comes right out here out of the Bible. A foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. People will think, "Oh, your mother never taught you anything because you're acting like a fool." That's why I believe this passage in Romans chapter 1 doesn't just apply to unsaved, it applies to Christians. I believe as us as Christians, our heart can get darkened. When we get turned away from God, our heart becomes darkened and we become to bring shame to our family, not just to our mother, not just to our father here on earth, but to our heavenly father. We bring shame to him. Jeremiah 4:22, it shows us that we will have no knowledge of God, or at least put forth that we have no knowledge of God. People will think, "Oh, well, that person's probably not saved." When somebody sees you outside of church, do they think, "Oh, that's a Christian"? Do you put forth that? Jeremiah 4:22, it says, "For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge." He's talking about his people. He says, "My people is foolish." It's not talking about the unsaved. It's talking about Christians. It's talking about God's people. God's people put forth an example that they have no knowledge of God. They're wise to do evil. They know everything about the world. You ask them about the football game, they could tell you every player, all the stats. But you ask them to quote you 10 Bible verses, they couldn't do it. Why? Vain imaginations. Leads to a darkened heart. And then thirdly, we see in verse number 22, it says, "Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools." You ever heard of somebody that thinks that they're really smart? "Oh, I'm so smart. I know everything." Ask me anything. I can answer it. I heard a guy say that to me one time. A professor at a college that I was visiting, he said, ask me any question about the Bible and I'll have an answer. I said, man, he sounds really foolish. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. When I studied this out, it says, when you become a fool, you have no knowledge, no wisdom, and no understanding. And you will not take instruction. That's what Webster's defines a fool as. Someone who won't take instruction. When's the last time somebody tried to give you instruction on something and you thought that you were smarter than them and you wouldn't listen to them, and then come to find out you were wrong and you had to do it their way? But you thought that you were smarter than them. Sometimes we just need to take a step back and realize maybe somebody knows better than us. Proverbs chapter number 1 and verse number 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. When you become so foolish in your thinking, you begin to despise people trying to give you instruction. You get to a point where you say, oh, well, I can't stand when people try to correct me. And I've worked with people like that. They know everything. You can't instruct them. Why? Because they've got to this point where no one can tell them anything. And if I can't tell them anything, more than likely God can't tell them anything. And they're not taking instruction from God. They're probably not reading their Bible. They're probably not praying. Because they're so backslidden. They already had vain imaginations. Their heart was already darkened. And now they already profess themselves to be wise, but they're acting like a fool. Proverbs 1 and verse number 22 says that we'll hate knowledge. Proverbs 1:22, it says, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. I like learning. I think it's important that you learn something new every day. You ought to try to learn new things. You're never at a point where you've arrived and you know everything. Like I said, I went over to Tri-State. I went to college there, and Brother Westmore, and he's 50 plus years older than me, and he told me, he goes, I learn new things every day. You know why? Because he's teachable. But when you get to this point where you think that you know everything, you'll hate knowledge. You'll begin to hate the Word of God. Then it leads to destruction, Proverbs 13, verse number 20. The rest of these I'll just have to read to you. I won't be able to get into. Time is coming to a close here in about 4 minutes. So let me just read through the rest of these. Wish I had time to preach through the rest of these, but I don't have an hour and a half. I told the pastor, I said, I might just have to give the rest of these. The fourth thing, it says, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. When they do this, they downplay God's glory. 2 Kings 17:14 talks about that. They remove him from his position. 2 Kings 17:15 goes on and continues to show how they removed God from his position. And then they replaced him with a man-made image in 2 Kings 17:16. You'll see where they took down all the statues that gave honor to God in that passage of Scripture, and they put up statues that they made to Baal and to all these worldly images, and they started to worship them because they said, you know what? We're not going to worship God anymore. We're going to worship something that we made. You see that all throughout the Bible. There's several other passages where the Israelites, they got delivered from something. They worship God. Great. Just right down the way, a couple more chapters, they take God out of the picture. They make their own idol. They worship that instead of God. And we read that and we're like, how could they do that? But we do the same thing and we elevate something else that we worship more than God. It was told to me when I was in Bible college, anything that you put before God is your God. You get up in the morning and you get on Facebook, you get on the TV, you get on the Xbox, you get on the internet, whatever you get on first, that's your God. If it's not the Bible, if it's not your knees, if you're not talking to God first thing, something else is your God. Number 5, it says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Once they get to the part where they are worshiping another god, the Bible says, God gives you up to your own lust. James 1:14 talks about that. Every man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. God doesn't tempt you. He just allows you to be drawn away of your own lust. You dishonor your own body. 2 Timothy 2:20 and Romans 9:21, they talk about that. You follow your heart to sin amongst yourselves. Romans 6:16 goes into that. And it talks about how we turn our bodies to sin against God. It says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. We'll follow our sin right to death, because the end of sin is death. The Bible teaches that. Sixth, we see we change the truth of God into a lie and worship the creature more than the Creator. You begin to believe lies over truth, John 8:44. You worship things more than God, Acts 17:23. You are your own God and your own God, or your own guide. You begin to guide yourself and make your own decisions, Matthew 23:24. Seventh, we saw God gave them up to vile affections. Women leaving their natural use. Men lusting one toward another. They receive the recompense of their error. I believe that that's the diseases that you get from those type of sins of men with men and women with women. That God gives them up to that. We see that in our world today. We're legalizing it. What a state we're in. Why? Because we know God, we worship Him not as God, neither are we thankful, and we open the door to vile affections, and these next eight steps fall into place. Then we see God gives them over to a reprobate mind. They do those things which are not convenient. They become filled with all wickedness, and they don't have any understanding or godliness left in them. I believe these are God's people that is talking about in this passage, that saved people that knew who God was, got to this point. And lastly, it says, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You get to a point where now you're partaking in those sins, and you're having pleasure in it. Knowing the penalty of these sins, and you still do them. You partake in all wickedness of sinfulness and superfluity, and having pleasure in those things and in those people that do them. Let us all take a moment tonight and be thankful that we're saved. Let us take a time and reflect and see if we're truly worshiping God. We know who God is, but are we truly worshiping God, and are we thankful for what we have? If not, we're going to start following down that slippery slope, down those steps. We must not forsake the Lord our God. We must thank God for all He has given us. And what will be said of us in our thankfulness in our life? When you're dead and gone, what will your children say about you? What will your neighbors and your coworkers say about you? When it comes time for your funeral, I've been to several funerals here in the last few months, and when it comes down to your funeral, are there going to be people that are able to get up and say anything good about you? Or are they going to say, yeah, he used to be a Christian, he used to come to church, but he just went the way of the world? That's not a testimony we ought to have. But it all starts with not glorifying God as God and then being unthankful. And then before you know it, you're like, how did I get into this wicked, awful sin? How did I leave my wife? How did I end up here with all? How did this happen? It all started out with not being thankful. You say, oh, well, being thankful is not that big of a deal. Thanksgiving's not that big of a deal to me. I'll see if you're here next year. I'll see if you're still in church next year if thankfulness isn't a big deal to you. Because we saw what can happen when you become unthankful. It goes quick. Well, let that sink in. I'm going to pray and let the pastor come up. But if God dealt with you tonight, I pray that you come up and you get things right with God and you say, I'm going to be more thankful for the things that I do have. Dear God, I thank you tonight, God, for the time that we had. Thank you for the people that are here tonight.